Blog Talk Radio.
America, whether you're in the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East,
European theater, or the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. We have the Tabernacles coming up on the 25th of September. We want to start preparing for that and be ready for that celebration, and then we will have Tabernacles. We will have the Day of Atonement. And so these are all major feast days that are coming up within the next, well, we're just starting September, but we're within 60 days of some of them, or 45 days, and within 30 days of trumpets on the 25th. So this is the third, 22 days to go. We want to start preparing for that. So no matter where you're at, I'm getting ready to look at the dashboard to see if we have any new listeners in any new countries. We're, you know, praying that the Most High sends us into all the countries that are out there on this planet, that this gospel goes out. And I'm looking, and, well, from this computer, it's hard for me to see, but I don't think I see any new countries. And so, you know, we're going to pray the Most High that it allows us to reach into some new countries coming up within the next couple of months. As I was saying on this morning, the times of the Gentiles relates directly with the coming of Messiah, relates directly with the closing of the Ark of the Covenant, and we have to be mindful of this so that we know when we are supposed to be making moves and what the Most High is doing, in as much as he will allow us to know. I was just talking to one of my brothers that I sort of grew up in this thing with when I came in. He's one of the first brothers that I met. When I learned that I was a Hebrew Israelite, and, you know, he was telling me, I told him to send me a link to this article concerning the Catholic Church is telling all of their members to deposit all of their money, their, you know, liquefy, if they got monies in other banks, to liquefy it and deposit it into the Vatican Bank, because the Vatican is predicting a worldwide financial crisis, a failure of the banking system. And so they want all of their people to have their money in the Vatican Bank. So we need to, you know, take a look at that as well. Not that we're going to be following and doing what the Vatican says, but if they know something is about to happen, maybe they're causing it, never know. We need to be mindful of those things. And if there's a financial crisis that is coming, a failure of the system, we need to be mindful of that as well. You know, the Most High has been saying to take your money out of the bank. He's been telling more than one person, that even some people in my own family, take your money out of the bank and put it into a safe. Because there is coming a collapse. The Vatican is telling their people to do it by 30 September this year. So, you know, we'll do some research into that. Unless you're looking to, you know, make interest off of your money that's in the bank, you know, I will probably be looking for a safe to put my money into. I'm not really worried about the 2% that I'm gaining from the bank. I can go without that for a little while and, you know, put the money into a safe. And then anything that you have to do banking-wise, like I pay, you know, certain bills online, or I pay certain bills through cashier's check, then I can always go to the bank if they are not in crisis and, you know, take care of those things. Deposit the money and pay the, you know, the bill online, or get a cashier's check. But if the banking system does fail and you got your money in there, you won't be able to get it, in other words. So, you know, it's worth paying attention to. And, you know, we're not trying to start, you know, any type of scare or anything like that. We really need to look into it But, you know, I know that these things are coming. And so anytime you see a major institution, you know, for the Catholic Church to tell all of its members, and they have, what, either 1 billion or 2 billion Catholics in the world, to put all of their money in the Vatican Bank, then there's something to that. But, I want to check out the article and see the source and make sure that it's not, you know, just a story for fun or, a fictional story. If the Vatican really has put that out, then there's something to it, and we might want to be mindful of that. That being said, we greet you all in the only name whereby men must be saved. We will do our necessary, the statement of faith. And we will pray in, and then we will jump into this precept. As I said, I don't know how many lessons this will be, but end of it, I pray that, you know, we understand when the beginning of the times of the Gentiles is, when the end of the time of the Gentiles is, and that we understand some prophecy concerning these last days, as the Most High is showing it to me, that we can, understand and get it, and some things should come to pass that reaffirm these things. But I'm also asking each and every listener to go before the Most High himself, once we establish some things for confirmation. Okay, because, you know, he shouldn't just tell me, but he should be telling, you know, multiple people things are true. And so I don't want to say that the Most High said something that he has not said and that he does not confirm. All right, so let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads, no matter where you may be at in the world. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give Yah Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and we glorify you. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee and we worship thee on today. We honor you in this good day, Father. You have said that if my people will honor me and keep my Sabbath and keep my commandments, hallelujah, that you would always be with us and that we would be your people and you would be our Elohim, Father. And so, Father, we remain faithful. Faithful to you, O Father, in all these things. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, O Yah. Glory to your name. 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 You are worthy. You're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar to end this Shabbat. Thank you.
wanna be close to you. I leave my hands in prayer. Somebody lift those hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. And I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. My testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said why. I said because praise is what I do. Cause I
your voice in this place. Oh.
All right. Amen. 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 I thank the Most High for these days because his return is not far off. And if we notice and believe this, it should make us as anxious for his return, not making us anxious for the day of the Most High. Because it's not a day that we should wish for or want to come about. So terrible is it going to be. But I yearn for the days that Messiah returns and that he gathers his people and that we are counted among the faithful. We are going to pick this back up where we left off at. We're going to go back to Zechariah chapter 14. And we're going to get verses 1 through 9. We finished these, but we're going to review them real quick so that we are, you know, contiguous, that we are doing things in a way that you know, they're flowing from one broadcast to the next. And I really want, you know, the hearers of the broadcast and those that do downloads, whether, you know, no matter where they're at in the world, that this be contiguous as a series. So going back to Zechariah chapter 14, and we're talking about the times of the Gentiles. And this is really showing us in these verses the end of the times of the Gentiles. Zechariah chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Behold, the day of Yah cometh. And we know the day of the Most High does not come until the end of time, when he's going to return to the earth. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged. And half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yah go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Messiah is going to return, and so we should know who the Most High is. Messiah is going to return, and his feet are going to touch on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave or split in the midst or in the middle, thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of the mountain toward the south. So this mountain is really going to split in four. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. And you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yah, my Elohim, shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to Yah, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and Yah shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yah, and his name one. So this is talking about the end of the times of the Gentiles. This is talking about the day of Yah and when he will return. And he tells us that we will know his return because when he steps down, when we see him in the sky, number one. Number two, his feet are going to touch down on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split into four. Half going east and west, and then the other half going north and south. And we will know that it's him. The Antichrist can't do this. Only the Most High. And he says, so don't, you know, when they say in the last day, he says that there will be many false prophets, and there will be many that claim to be him, that claim to be Christ. Because if they tell you he's in the desert, don't go. They tell you he's in the secret places, don't go. Because you should know as his people what the sign is, the sign of the Son of Man. The angel said when he left, why do you look up into heaven? Men, why are you staring up into heaven like this? this same Yeshua that you see go up into heaven shall likewise return. Return from heaven the same way you saw him go up. He's going to come down. And we just read it in Zechariah chapter 14 that his feet are going to touch upon the Mount of Olives. And it will split. There's going to be a great battle in Jerusalem. These are the last days. These are the times in, this is the times of the Gentiles, the end of the times of the Gentiles, when this will take place. So we know that the times of the Gentiles started when Nebuchadnezzar came and sacked Jerusalem and actually destroyed the temple. Okay, and on and off, this has happened during history. We're more so concerned with the times of the Gentiles in our times, in the last days. But we're going to study this thing thoroughly so that we have a thorough understanding of the scriptures and those countries that are involved, those kingdoms that are involved. Because the last kingdom is still in effect today. Okay, so we need to learn who that is. Okay, so let's continue in this. Let's go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 19. The book of Revelation, chapter 19. And we're going to be getting verses 11 through 21. Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. And the word of the Most High reads, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of Elohim. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean." So this is talking about the return of Messiah on this white horse as the Savior. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." Strict rule. I'm coming to put down all this mess, all these false religions, all these false gods. And I'm going to rule the world with a rod of iron, strictly. "And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty Elohim." Now this winepress that he is trotting underfoot is all these people who accept the mark of the beast in the last days. All the people who accept the mark of the beast. So we're going to read this, and then we're going to go get that so that you know that this is the winepress that he is stamping out, that he is going to take his vengeance on. Go down to verse 21. "And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or Master of Masters, or you could say Yah of Yah. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Elohim, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet." Now this is talking about Antichrist. "And with him the false prophet that wrought or worked miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Now this remnant that he's talking about We see the false prophet. We see the beast and the false prophet thrown into the lake, okay? But all the people that follow them, they're slain with the sword. Out of the mouth of Mashiach. And the fowls were filled with their flesh, both small and great, bond or free. Now, let me go get a verse that I don't have here. Give me a hot second. What is the word I'm looking for here? Hold on just a second. I know the verse that I want. I need to know the word that I'm looking for to pull it straight up. And the word that I'm looking for hold on. Yeah, I know the word. I'm looking for wine press. Just a second. I believe it's Revelation 14, but it might be 13. So Revelation chapter 14. The book of Revelation, chapter 14. So to show you what this who's in this wine press. Now, I already told you that Revelation 19, he told you that the beast was thrown into the lake of fire and the false prophet. And he says the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. The sword and the fowls were filled with their flesh. But he also told you that, you know, that he is treading out the winepress of the Most High. So I just want to show you who's in this winepress and why it's important that you don't take the mark of the beast. And drop down to about verse 18 or 19. Well, let's just start in verse 6. Revelation 14, starting in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. And I want the saints to hear this. Because, you know, when this time comes, if you die, then if you die for the right reason, then you're going to receive, you know, a crown, but also a throne. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed in Yah from henceforth. So from this time forward, blessed are those people who what? Die in Yah, yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So some of the saints are going to die. Everybody's not going to escape this tribulation. Everybody's not going to escape the Antichrist. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. This is Messiah. And he that sat on the cloud, thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now these are the saints that are being reaped, those that have suffered for the word of Elohim and for the testimony of Yeshua. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in the heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Let's see who he reaps. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle and gather the clusters of the vines of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vines of the earth and cast them into the great winepress of the wrath of Elohim. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's about 200 miles. Okay. A river of blood coming out of this valley that is 200 miles long and about 6 feet deep. Okay, and I don't really know how wide it is, but that's a lot of dead people. But these are everyone who is at the battle, and this is also everyone who takes the mark. This angel comes in and reaps them, and they are killed. Okay, so you don't want to take the mark. You don't want to worship the beast. You want to have your focus and everything at the end of the times of the Gentiles on the Most High. You got to believe that he's going to redeem and save you. And if you get caught up, then you got to believe that he's able to keep you safe. And if you are required to give your life, then you need to be ready to give your life for his kingdom, for his word. The times of the Gentiles started during the dispensation of the law, including the dispensation of grace, and will end at the conclusion of the seven-year tribulation period before the start of the dispensation of the kingdom. And this dispensation, you know, talking about the thousand-year reign of Messiah is going to be, you know, that's a dispensation. So there's a time period. The seven-year tribulation would be a dispensation, the dispensation of the law, the conclusion of the seven-year tribulation, the start of the dispensation of the kingdom. The times of the Gentiles include all of the 70 weeks, 490 years of Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. So let's go there. The book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel, chapter 9. And we're going to be getting verses 24 through 27. And we're going to come back and read, you know, a lot of Daniel. As I said, as I read this morning, the Most High was showing me some things in there that, you know, are relevant to us today. And that we should understand that everybody's not going to be able to see this or understand it. Even in these last times, they're going to be making predictions of things that are just not true, because he's not allowing them to see what this prophecy is all about. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to fill up the vision and prophecy to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, and you need to underline this verse, because we'll come back to it, but you need to underline it. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So 69 weeks of years. And then we have to find out what commandment, who gave the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So then now we can say, this is when Messiah is supposed to be born. This is a prophecy. And we use this prophecy to determine the start of other prophecies, because they're based upon this prophecy. Even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood unto the end of the war of desolation are determined. So this is talking about, you know, Daniel's his 70 weeks. It ends with the return of Messiah, but it also prophesies. And this is that when I told you that time can be put on a pause, that Messiah is, he's come in the 62nd week, 62 weeks. He's cut off. Okay, so you do the math, 62 weeks times 7 years. At the end of that time, Messiah would be cut off. But we still got 62. We got 7.5 years that are to be, or 7.5 weeks that will still have to be accounted. Those 7.5 weeks are reserved for the end time. Okay, so this prophecy is split. It's used to tell the time of Messiah and when he would come into the world and when he would be cut off. And then it's used to also tell about his end time ministry. Okay. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation or the completion of it. Determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The desolate is Jerusalem and the Hebrew people. Okay. So that what was determined to be done was to be done. All right. So this is, again, we would have to use this prophecy because it says from the time it gives the order that was given that started the clock, okay? And we are to use that to determine a lot of the prophecy of the end time, because the 70 week of Daniel's actually covers all of the times of the Gentiles, Messiah being born and being cut off, and then Messiah return is all in that prophecy. Okay, so let's continue. The time of the Gentiles includes the church age from Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, until the rapture. And the rapture, the catching away, is not as the church teaches it. But, you know, Messiah is going to come in the clouds, and he's going to gather all those saints that suffered with him. And he's going to take them to the wilderness of sin, and will happen before the tribulation period. First Thessalonians chapter 4. So let's go to First Thessalonians. We're not going to read all of Acts chapter 2. You can read that in your own time. Let's go to First Thessalonians chapter 4. Book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is the return of Messiah. And we're going to get verses 13 through 17. But I would not, and the word of the Most High reads, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will God or Elohim bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of Yah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yah shall not prevent them which are asleep. For Yah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yah in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yah. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I've shown you and others, because the church has taught that this is all the same. But we are told that if we want to rule with him, then we must suffer with him. Okay? Let's get that out of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. And it should be about verse 17. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. This is who he's coming to get. And he tells us, go to Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20. And starting verse 4. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 4. And I saw the thrones of them, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. We need to know who the them is. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is who he's talking about. These people gave their life for the word of Elohim and for the testimony of Yeshua. They hadn't worshiped the beast, but neither his image, neither received his mark in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So if you want to make the first resurrection, whether you believe in Messiah or not, you cannot be afraid to suffer with him. You cannot be afraid to give your life for the word of the Most High or for the testimony of Yeshua. That's what Antichrist is going to come after. That's who he's going to come after. That's the elect. But the Most High is not going to allow him to kill all the elect. He's going to have power over some of the elect. And the elect is not going to take the mark of the beast. So you are talking about from the apostles all the way up through the time of the tribulation, all those saints that died for the word of the Most High, who suffered for the word of the Most High and for the testimony of Messiah. Those is who the ones he's bringing with him. They make the first resurrection. Not every saint or everybody that believes in Mashiach. And that's what the churches teach. Okay, but it's not everybody that believes in Mashiach. It is those that were willing and able to suffer with him. If we just went to church every Sunday or every Saturday with the camp meetings, the Bible study, but we didn't suffer with Messiah, me, you, or anybody else, we're not making the first resurrection. We don't qualify for it. We do qualify for eternal life, but we don't qualify for the first resurrection. We fall into the rest of the dead. Okay? We fall into the rest of the dead. Now, if we're alive and we didn't take the mark of the beast, and we belong to Messiah, then we shall be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Because believe me, you're going to suffer if you, you're going to suffer with the Antichrist being after you. Okay? And you are being faithful. You're not taking the mark. You qualify. But if you if the tribulation doesn't come and you go to the Most High, His promise is still good. I'm going to give you 100-fold of whatever you gave up, and I'm going to give you the crown of life, eternal life. But you will qualify for the rest of the dead, not those that made the first resurrection. And everybody wants to make the first resurrection. That is the hope of the saints, but they don't want to do what it takes to make the first resurrection at the end of the times of the Gentiles. So let's go back to Revelation. Let's go down to the bottom of 20. After the 1,000 years, verse 7. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So this is after the 1,000 years now. Messiah has been on the earth 1,000 years. The times of the Gentiles has been over. Okay? And the earth has been repopulated. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to do battle, to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And where did all these people come from? They didn't die in the tribulation. They started living longer lives. They started repopulating the earth. And they went up on the breadth of the earth. Now they are up under the whose rulership? Messiah. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. They surround the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from heaven, from Elohim out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody that makes it to the tribulation and who is not killed, who does not worship the beast, don't all believe in following Messiah. And they definitely don't believe in following his rule. So after one day of his rulership, the devil goes out and does what he does. He shows what's in their heart. And what's in their heart is they didn't want to follow Messiah. So it says he deceived them. Okay. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Who is them? The rest of the dead, no matter where they were at. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. So if we don't make the first resurrection, we are resurrected here. And they were judged according to our work. And we're judged according to whether our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. The people who made the first resurrection aren't subject to this judgment. They're not subject to the lake of fire. They're not judged in this. Only the rest of the dead, those that didn't get up during the first resurrection. Those that didn't suffer with Messiah, but they received eternal life. They believed in Messiah. They walked in his way. Okay? But they did not qualify for the first resurrection. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they judged every man according to their work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. No more death. Everybody has eternal life now because death and hell are what? Cast away. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you cannot make the first resurrection and make the second resurrection and your name still be in the Lamb's book of life. And his promise of eternal life to you is still good. And what will be your reward? 100-fold of whatever you gave up. You didn't get to rule with him 1,000 years or a day, but you still receive your eternal life and you still receive the kingdom and 100-fold. This is what he promised. Because his disciples asked, you know, we gave up everything, what we're going to receive. He said, you're going to receive a throne and reign over the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. And everybody else who gave up, whatever they gave up, they're going to receive the crown of life and 100-fold of whatever they gave up. And then those that suffered with him, who gave up their lives for him, for the testimony of Elohim, or the testimony of Christ, and for the word of the Most High, who were killed for it, they're not subject to the second death, the lake of fire, and they get to reign with him 1,000 years. Okay, so that's how that works out. But this all happens at the end. The times of the Gentiles was over 1,000 years before this. Messiah has set up his kingdom on the earth, and he has ruled he has ruled 1,000 years or 1 day a spiritual day. 1 day. 1 day to the Most High is what? 1,000 years. So he ruled 1 day. And that's the seventh day, the Sabbath, when there's supposed to be peace on the earth. And then in the eighth day, that's when the Most High's kingdom, when he destroys all the rest of the wicked on the earth, he resurrects everybody else and says, okay, now let me judge you according to your works. And if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you go ahead into the kingdom and get your reward. If your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you get thrown into the lake of fire. All the people who took the mark of the beast, they are already thrown into the lake. Okay, so we got to understand that, or will be at this time. Let's continue. Now let's see where we're at. So we read about Daniel's 70 weeks. We read about, you know, we know, understand Pentecost and the church age. And we just read about the rapture or the catching away of the saints of the Most High. And as I explained, it's not going to be all the saints that have believed on Messiah, but those that have proved themselves and that are worthy to rule with him. They are resurrected because they gave their life for him. And they gave their life for the word of the Most High, literally gave their life. The times of the Gentiles include the future 7-year tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, predicted in Daniel 9:27, which we read about, and explained in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19. Now, Revelation, chapter 6 through 19, Daniel's chapter 27, the 70th week, that is what's covered in those chapters. And we will come back to those chapters as we read Daniel. During the times of the Gentiles, and the following are true, no Jewish king sit on the throne of David ruling Israel. There's not going to be another king that sits on the throne of David until Messiah returns. So all of this time from the last Davidic king, which I believe is Zedekiah, until Messiah returns, there's not going to be a king that sits on the throne, the Most High throne that he allowed the earthly kings to sit on. That throne was always the Most High throne. And when Israel asked for a king, the Most High allowed the earthly king to sit on his earthly throne. That he had always promised Israel, and they just couldn't wait, that he was coming. He promised them through the prophets that he was coming. And they wanted a king they could see. And so he gave them Saul, because they wanted Saul. And when Saul was disobedient, then the Most High selected David. He told David, if you follow my commandments, if you do what I say, do this, and not be a man of your lineage, not to sit on the throne. So this is how the Davidic kingship started. The last of those kings was, if I'm not mistaken, Zedekiah, but we'll read it. four Gentile kingdoms during the time of the Gentiles would come up and fall: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. They would conquer Jerusalem and dominate Israel in the past, and three Gentile kings, along with the future Antichrist, a Gentile king, will conquer Jerusalem and dominate Israel in the future 7-year tribulation period. Now, I believe the Antichrist, I don't really believe that he's a Gentile king. He may be living as a Gentile, but what I read, something I read in Daniel, and, you know, you don't have to take this as a gospel right now, but when we read it, I'm going to point it out, because it says something about this man that he forsakes the God of his fathers, and he goes after gods that he has not known. The only people that the Most High ever speaks of in this way is Israel. Hebrew Israelite, that you will worship gods of wood and stone. I will set you in a land that you will worship gods that your forefathers did not know. So when I read that, I'm like, wait a minute, this is Antichrist, but he's saying that this man will worship gods that his fathers didn't know. He only ever says that of Israel. But we'll read it, and then you can make your own determination or not, you know, and I pray that you go before the Most High with it, okay? You go before the Most High with it and ask, not because I want confirmation, you know, of what I'm seeing. And if there's anybody in the, you know, listening to the broadcast or in the future, if the Most High shows you something different, hey, I want to hear it. Okay? All right. The second section, so we're going to talk about these four kingdoms, and then in the second section of this discussion, we're going to examine the times of the Gentiles in the future, focusing on the revived Roman Empire, because the last kingdom, the Roman Empire, is going to go down but come back up, and it's going to be represented by a different entity, but it's still the Roman Empire, okay, and the coming Antichrist. The third section will look at the second coming of Yeshua to the earth as the end of the times of the Gentiles. So we're going to look at the second coming of Messiah in detail in this study. And we're going to be looking at time frames.
Yes, now in the conference.
We're going to be looking at time frames. And let me make sure I unmute this. We don't get an echo. Give me a hot second. Okay. All right. Right. I guess I didn't mute it enough. Okay, there we go. All right, so we're going to be looking at, you know, Messiah and his rule and the prop. And again, we're looking at this also to determine when the Most High is going to close the Ark of the Covenant, when he's no longer going to be offering the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to mankind, meaning that he closes off the kingdom, just like he closed the door on Noah and his family. He closed them up in the ark. The rest of mankind was sentenced to death. They could not come into the ark. They were destined to die in the flood. The Most High is going to close the ark of the new covenant. And we want to know what event triggers that, if we can find it in the scripture. Okay, what event triggers that? Because it will come a time where you won't be able to be born of the water or of the spirit. You might be able to get baptized, but you won't be able to receive the Ruach HaKodesh. The Most High will no longer be dispensing his spirit. You know, salvation won't be open to anyone else. And we will still be in this world. That's the whole thing. He didn't take Noah and his sons out of the world. They were still in the world. They were in the ark for 7 days. before it ever started raining. You know, and if you're in the ark for 7 days and it doesn't rain and you're expecting judgment to come right away to the world, you know, expecting the execution of it, you can start to get some doubts. Did the Most High really tell me to build this ark? Did all these animals really come at the commandment of the Most High? Why hasn't it started raining? It's never rained before. Why hasn't it started raining? They had 7 days to think about that, but they were still on the earth. And we're going to still be here. That's why, you know, a lot of people want to escape the tribulation. But he says that those days, unless they were cut short, all flesh would be lost. But for the elect's sake, his people's sake, he's going to cut those days short. But some of us are going to be killed. That's why he says in Revelation 14, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth, from that day forward. Because you're going to receive not only the crown of life, but you're going to receive a throne. You will have qualified to receive a throne. You will have qualified and shown and proven that you are willing to give your life for the Most High. Okay. So we're going to be looking at all these things in depth. And we want to see, you know, I want the Most High really to reveal to us when he's closing the ark. If he gives us a clue. Or if he just closes it and there is no event that shows when he closes it. So you are either in or you are out. And there's no, you know, and I think, and that may very well be what comes out of this. That you are either in with the Most High or you are out with him. But when he closes that door, you are either in or you're out. And judgment's going to come, as he says, as in the day of Noah. They didn't even know that judgment was coming until it came. So when Messiah says, just as it was in the days of Noah, and they were giving in marriage and buying and selling just like it was normal, then it started raining. And it rained for the next 40 days and 40 nights. And they weren't warned that it was going to rain. So it's just going to be the same in the last days. So he may not give us an event. But, I'm praying that he shows us. I know that it's tied to the sanctuary. I know that Messiah, when he's in the heavenly sanctuary, he's doing the same thing that he commanded that the Levitical priesthood do in the earthly sanctuary, because the earthly sanctuary was a duplicate or replica of the one in heaven. And when Messiah ascended into the heaven, he went to be an advocate for us. But just as the earthly sanctuary had to be cleaned, I believe that the scriptures are telling us that the heavenly sanctuary, Messiah, there'll come a point where he cleans the heavenly sanctuary, and then I believe that event will close the ark of the new covenant. Just my belief right now, that when, you know, the prophecy that says that he's going to clean the heavenly sanctuary, and when that, we're going to be given a prophecy of 2,300 years. And says, blessed are they who make it to the 2,335th or the 90th day. I have to look and see. And then we have to determine whether there's a pause in there in those years, just like there was a pause in Daniel's 70 weeks. But Messiah will take off his priestly robe. He will, before he takes off his priestly robes, he will clean the sanctuary in heaven. And then he will put on his kingly robe. So we may have to look at and look at his return. But there's going to be an event. There has to be an event that says, okay, it's time for me to take off my priestly robes and put on my kingly robes. Because he's a king and a priest. So I'm not doing the office of a priest right now. Now I'm going to do the office of what? King. And I'm coming to slay the wicked. I'm coming to save my people. But if you're not his, that, you know, before that time, you will not be here. So we're looking for these things in the scriptures, and I believe the Most High can reveal them to us. But it's tied to the times of the Gentiles, because that's the history that we're given in the scriptures to look at. And it was first asked by a Gentile, King Nebuchadnezzar. The Most High, you know, gave him the dream, and then Daniel interpreted that dream. And so that's what we have to look at. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do. Well, we will be in some other books. We'll be in Zechariah. We'll be in Revelations. We'll be in Jeremiah. But the main book that we will be in surrounding this will be Daniel. Because as I read Daniel is just giving further and further visions of the times of the Gentiles and the end times. And if we really want understanding, then we really have to understand Daniel. So I pray that you stick with us during this study, during this review. And I also, as I said, I want you to go before the Most High in this thing as well. He can reveal to all, each and every one of us. And if he reveals something to you, I want you to, you know, share with the group that he revealed this to you. And if he reveals to one, he will confirm it. He will confirm it. Okay? So as I told you before, I don't ever want you to take my word as the gospel. I'll show you what it says in the scriptures. And, you know, I don't often deal with prophecy. Because, again, the truth of the matter is, if you don't make it into the kingdom, what difference does it make? But, you know, it might take knowing prophecy to get some of you into the kingdom. You know, and so I can't say that, it won't help you. But, you know, truthfully speaking, nothing else matters if you don't get your citizenship. Antichrist don't matter. Because if you don't get your citizenship, you're going to take the mark. That's what the scripture says. So is it critical that we get our citizenship in the kingdom, that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that we don't take the mark? Because if we do, our name is stricken from the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's continue the times of the Gentiles. So let's start looking at the Gentile kingdom. And we're going to be dealing with dates. You may want to write down dates. These dates can be confirmed. So you may want to, you know, you have to go outside of the Bible to confirm these things, these dates. And so they're not always the event is written in the Bible. And it will be given as, you know, the third year of a certain king's reign. Or in this year, it won't give it into you like, in 603 BC, this happened. But there are books in history and historians that have written about these things during their times that have survived to today that you can confirm these times. Okay, so you can come up with a realistic day. You can come up, and if the Most High says that it was in the reign of this king that this certain order was given, then you can verify that this king lived, or we might have, they might call him something different today, but this is what he was called back then, and confirm the word of the Most High, confirm Bible prophecy. Okay, and we want to use these dates in these time periods because the Most High gives it as an act, and so we might have to find that king. Somebody has already done the research. We don't have to, you know, go and search everything out for ourselves. You can look at, you know, people who are historians or biblical scholars that study history. And in order to get biblical history, a lot of times you got to go to the Egyptians, or you got to go to the Assyrians, or you got to go to the Ethiopians. You know, those nations that existed and have existed all this time, they record things. And so we may have to go there. And this is where they have had to go to say, did this king ever exist? And what was he called by his people? Because in the Bible, he's called this. Or his name was translated to this in the English. But his biblical name was this. Okay, so sometimes it can make it hard to, if you don't read, you know, especially the English version of the Bible as a translation, then you might be looking literally for a certain name. But that wasn't his original or his name, his birth name. But this is what it was translated to in the English. And so they know that this was his name. This is what his name is in his country. Just like they changed Yeshua's name from Yeshua to Jesus. Iosis to Jesus. What his original name? And they've done that with other names that are in the scripture. So if you're trying to find biblical prophecy and biblical history, cannot always stay within the Bible because it's not given, and especially in the English translation. And then some things weren't important to the Most High. We have to go outside of scripture to get it because he didn't have it written for us. He wrote up the king and the event, but he did not give the year. And so you have to go to that country for that, you know, that king, and they're going to have their history. This is when the king reigned, so forth and so on. So I just want you to understand this is the methodology you have to use. Okay. So I'm going to be giving a lot of dates. And some of them I want you to go and confirm. Look them up. See what history says concerning this. Because biblical prophecy is based upon this. Okay. So let's look at the first Gentile kingdom that the Most High dealt with in the scriptures, and this king asked, what is the end of all this, and what's going to be like the history of the world? And the Most High gave him the history of the Gentile nation. We know him as Nebuchadnezzar. And the statute that he gave covers all of the times of the Gentiles, because every nation that is part of that statute is a Gentile nation. And it tells us how the Most High brings about the end of these Gentile nations by crushing the kingdom that is iron and clay, who's made up of iron and clay. That he would use that to bring this entire system down and establish his kingdom in the earth. So this prophecy tells about the times of the Gentiles. So understand that, okay? In 603 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had a dream of an image of a metallic man which had a head of gold, a chest and arms made of silk, a belly and thighs made of bronze, legs made of iron, and feet with 10 toes made of part iron and part clay. So let's go to Daniel chapter 2. The book of Daniel chapter 2. And let me get my glasses. Daniel chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. Okay, and what I want you to do, I want you to see the hand of the Most High in this. Because what this king asked and what he demands of the Magi, and Daniel was a Magi, and even the prophecy of Messiah, the wise men came from this area. Okay? And it is a common belief that Daniel is the one that, you know, told them about the prophecy of Messiah, and that's how the wise men ended up coming to see Messiah, the three wise men, but it was more than that, probably. But they mentioned three because of the gifts. But they are Magi. And this is the Chaldeans, this is the Assyrians, this is where the Magi come from. Okay, and Daniel, Israel is sent into captivity, taken over by the Assyrians, Nebuchadnezzar, and they go to work for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so when we read this, I want you to read, you know, the king's dream, but I also want you to pay attention to how he interacts with the Magi, okay? And he doesn't want them to lie to him. He wants them to do something. It's like you coming to me and say, Brother Miles, I had a dream last night, and I want you to tell me what I dreamed because I can't remember it. And you expect me to tell you your dream. This is what the king does. And he says, and if you can't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill all of you. That's a lot of pressure, okay? A lot of pressure, but this is the will of the Most High, and this is his doing. Okay, so let's read this and, you know, pay attention, close attention. Daniel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. So he's having trouble, what? And more or less, he's having nightmares. But he knows that these aren't really like nightmares, but he can't sleep. Then the king commanded to call the magician. The magi are magicians, okay? That's where that word magician comes from, magi. He called the magician and the astrologer, and the sorcerer, and the Chaldean, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Now he's got all of these people, the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. Show me what I dreamed. So they stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. This is a language. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we shall show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces. And your houses shall be made a dunghill, a doo-doo hill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time. You're pausing, you know, you're stalling for time because you see the thing is gone from me. You stalling. I just already told you I don't remember. So why are you keep asking me to what? Tell you the dream. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. So these men practice different arts of soothsaying, of trying to tell the future. And he's saying, hey, the Chaldeans said, hey, there ain't no king that would ask his astrologer, his magician, or any Chaldean. And, you know, I really need to look at what the Chaldeans, what was their specialty, okay? We know magicians deal in black magic. We know the astrologers read the stars. But I really want to know what the Chaldeans, what was their, you know, how did they, what methods did they use to try to tell the future, okay? And it is a rare thing that the king requires. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the God, whose dwelling is not with flesh. So there ain't no person alive I can tell you this. For this cause, the king was angry and was very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men. Remember, I told you the three wise men. These are the Chaldeans. They are the Magi. That's what they called them. Okay. Destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now, it's telling you that Daniel and his fellows are where? They're in Assyria. They are in captivity, just like we're in captivity, okay? And they are in service to the king. And now the king has sent for his astrologers. He sent for his magicians. He sent for the sorcerers. He sent for the Chaldeans. And then, you know, like I said, I got to look up and see what the Chaldeans, how they were supposedly, what they practiced, you know, so that they can tell the king his dream or interpret things for him, why he would, you know, inquiring of them. But we see that Daniel is one of them. Daniel, and you're going to learn that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are one of them. And now they haven't been consulted. But because they are part of this group, they are slated to be slain as part of the wise men. Okay? So I pray that you picked up on it. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. They sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. That tells you what Daniel's, you know, job is in Assyria, in Babylon. And they are, Israel is in captivity, okay? Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Now he's talking to the man that's supposed to be gone forth to slay them. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Why is he trying to kill all, you know, the wise men so quickly? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, because Daniel wasn't at this meeting. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they would desire mercies of Elohim of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Elohim of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of Elohim forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times, and he changed the times and the season. He removes kings, and he sets up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou Elohim of my father, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Now the order had already gone out. Daniel has gone to the chief of the guard, the one who's been given the order to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he's talked to him, but he's also talked to the king. And, you know, give me a little bit of time. He didn't tell the king, ask the king to tell him the dream, because that would have just got him killed. He asked the king, give me a little bit of time, and I will tell you the interpretation. He goes and inquires of Elohim. Elohim tells him what the king dreamed, because Elohim is the one that gave the king the dream. Because Nebuchadnezzar had asked the Most High. And the Most High was, you know, he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. Israel is not the only nation that the Most High has ever dealt with. Okay, and we can see that by this dream that he's given Nebuchadnezzar. But he's causing Nebuchadnezzar to forget the dream so that he might show his might, so that he might be revealed. Okay? And so that his chosen people can also be revealed, because Israel has been taken captive, and he wants Israel to be reestablished and his temple or his tabernacle, his temple reestablished. Okay? And so he's going to use this for that. Now, we will read all this, maybe not tonight, but we'll get into it and we'll read it, because this is the hand of the Most. But what we're mainly concerned with is the prophecy that he gives the king, okay? And Daniel gives the interpretation of. And the king, I believe, is just happy that he's able to tell him the dream. He says, but if you can tell me the dream, I know you can tell me what the interpretation of it. And so Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know the Most High by name, but he knows, and he's dealt with the Most High. He just doesn't give the Most High credit like he's supposed to. Okay, and the Most High has been dealing with him. So let's continue reading. Verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able? Now see, this is Daniel's Assyrian or Babylonian name. Okay? Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king demanded. And let me scroll here. The secret which the king has demanded cannot the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, and the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is an Elohim in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? What's going to be after me? And he that reveals secrets, maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. So the king asked, what is going to come to pass after me, after this? And the Most High is revealing it to the king, but he causes him to forget so that he can reveal himself to the king. Thou, O king, sawest and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, the legs of iron, the feet of part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and make them and break them into pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings. For Elohim, the Elohim of heaven, has given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And whether and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the earth, has he given into thy hand, and has made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdues all things. And as iron that breaketh all things, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, and the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it a strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. In the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw it, that the stone was cut out of a mountain without hand, and that it break into pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your Elohim is Elohim of Elohim, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel became the chief wise man. Then Daniel requested the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. What we should take from this, number one, is that the Elohim that we serve, even when we're in captivity, we are to be in obedience to him, and he will set us up on high, even in our captivity. We have too many examples of that. So Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like Joseph was sent into slavery, and because he believed the Most High, and the Most High needed him to be in a place so that he could save Israel from the famine that came, then he needed Daniel to be in his place, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he could give Nebuchadnezzar this dream, that he could set up his prophet to be head of the state of the government that he had ruling the earth at the time. It's the same reason why we were sent into captivity. And if we are faithful to the Most High, he will do the same thing with us. We got to know and believe that. That he can work through us if we are faithful, even in captivity, because a lot of times, you know, Hebrews are wanting to leave the land, and they're wanting to go back to the homeland. They're wanting the Most High to gather us and take us back into Israel. They're wanting for Messiah to come and to, you know, gather his to himself. And the Most High showed me 20, 25 years ago when I first went before him, and he said, you are Joseph. Now, he told me specifically that I was Joseph. I can't say what tribe you are. But he said, you are Joseph, and I have sent you into this captivity just as I've sent Joseph. Okay, so there's a time coming, and I believe now is, and we are supposed to be getting busy, and it's to save his elect, his people, those that believe in him, even in this captivity. So I'm just telling you what the Most High told me concerning myself. Okay. Now, the vision that he gave Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know what is going to be hereafter. You didn't hear Israel in there. You heard what the Most High was going to do, that he's going to establish his kingdom in the earth, and that's going to come through Messiah. But he gave the statute that he gave was the statute of kingdoms that would exist in this world until the end. So the statute covers the time of the Gentiles, is what I'm saying to you. And if we want to know and correctly interpret scripture and understand the prophecy, you got to understand that this was the original prophecy of all the kingdoms of men that would rule on the earth until the Most High established his kingdom and brought the times of the Gentiles to an end. But these are all the kingdoms that would rule Jerusalem at one point or another. And so that's what we got to understand, and that's what we got to bring forth and forward in this so that we can properly interpret the scripture, okay? Because some of these kings in the early history of Israel also deals with the prophecy of Messiah, deals with the prophecy of the end time in detail. You know, as I said, the Most High has not shown me or revealed all to me because I've read some chapters. I'm like, Most High, you have to reveal this to me, because I'm not able to tie these verses to anywhere else in Scripture. Okay? Most of what I read in Daniel, I can tie to Revelations or Ezekiel or Zechariah, other prophets, Revelation. But some of what he says, which is very detailed, I could not tie anywhere else. And we need the interpreter, the revealer of secrets, to tell us. And what I'm asking you is, if he don't tell me, ask him to tell you so that we can get understanding. Amen? I pray amen. So we're going to be looking at these things in depth. I'm going to stop here for this evening. We won't have a meeting tomorrow morning. Got to go back out to the land and take care of some things. So we won't have a meeting tomorrow morning. We will meet again on Tuesday evening. Be traveling Monday. We will meet on Tuesday. Okay, and we'll meet for newcomers class. Then Thursday business meeting. I want to again bring up the thing with the domes, the domes that we talked about doing, and I think that with the Most High, what's been on my heart and on my mind, and what he's been having, you know, on me heavily, is that on the land, which I'll send you guys pictures of, that is right off the, it's really right off the freeway, this particular segment of land, that we use it for the Airbnb property, that we put one tent on it, or one, you know, those round tents, that we, you know, do the necessary. We see, you know, how often we can rent it out, the kind of income it's going to produce if it stays rented, then we do another one. Okay, but the other tents that we're going to do on the other land for ourselves, that we go ahead and get ready to do, because we need to be making a move that way, period. And as soon as we can get somebody on the land in a permanent way, then we need to, you know, start to do the farming and that kind of stuff, growing the food, because once this economy goes crazy or the banking system fails or whatever's coming, and we know it's coming, it will be too late, okay? I am still, as I told you guys, I started regrowing the microgreens, and I will send out some pictures of those. I did harvest and even have here with me some of the radish microgreens. Harvested them and had a good harvest. The putting in the AC unit in that room made all the difference. Still have to do some perfecting with some of the other plants, but the next ones that I was going to try, I think I have the radishes down pat and can grow them in a production environment that we can, you know, I'm going to begin to go and approach the restaurant with this one plant and say, you know, I can provide this, see what kind of customers I can get. But I'm also, before I left to come here to the land, I planted like four trays of speckled peas because I like them. They're supposed to be the second easiest thing to grow. And so I want to see and make sure that I can get those two crops down, and then I will, you know, make that a second offering so that, you know, again, approach the restaurants and the stores with this crop. I don't, you know, the one that I'm not having the best of, it's growing, but it's not growing the way that I think it should grow, and I have to do a little bit more research. The mixed salad, certain of those salad greens don't seem to do well, and it could have been a temperature thing. I'm not really sure. I'll do the research on it. But right now, the radishes and the speckled peas, the sunflowers didn't do as well as I thought they would. They came up, but, you know, I've done better with them, and so I will look and see, you know, what is the deal with those. But we want to look at this as an income stream. As long as we are able to do business, then we want to do this as a source of income along with the Airbnb stuff. And we're asking the Most High for favor. If the economy goes bad and, you know, we're not able to do that, then we're going to need to, you know, use whatever means that he gives us, whether it's our Social Security, retirement, what have you, and we need to move to the land, and we just need to start making it happen, is the case. Because if we get stuck where we're at, then we're going to be stuck where we're at. And so it is in my heart, and in my spirit, that we just need to get a move on, period. Period. You know, so if some of the things, if you know, it proved to be true, as the Vatican told all the 2 billion Catholics that they have to move all of their money into Vatican banks, there's something behind that. And you know, the Vatican being global the way it is, then they are telling their people something bad financially is about to happen and all your money needs to be here. Okay, so something's going to be happening with the strength of the banking industry. And so we want to act accordingly to that. And so we'll be doing that research as well, because he's given them, all Catholics in the world, like I said, the guy's supposed to be sending me the link to this article, and I will go make sure that it's a valid and true article and that this was actually said, that all Catholics are to do this, then, you know, we need to kind of take it serious ourselves, okay? That being said, if there are any questions on tonight's lesson, if you open up your mic, I don't think that anybody called into the Blog Talk show directly. If you're listening online, you can text me or send a email. You got any questions on this lesson? If you are listening online and you got any questions, now would be your time to ask. Most of this stuff you have heard before, but I'm praying that the Most High reveals some things that we have not heard that are true, that will help us in these last days. If there are no questions from anyone, then I'm going to pray us out, get something to eat, and get ready for tomorrow. All right. And I will come back because I've been taking pictures of the boundary markers and, you know, the no trespassing signs that we're putting up. And we'll be out tomorrow on the remainder of the acres. You know, we found all the property markers for the 40 acres where I said we want to put the tent. And then the acres where we want to be living ourselves, which is not in the same area, then we want to, you know, talk about and look at getting that finance and out the way so that those who are able to or want to come now can come. And, you know, we will have to figure it out as we go. Okay. We'll have to figure it out as we go, because it really does feel like things are becoming accelerated with all these different things going on in the world. Okay. But we don't want to, you know, we don't want to react out of fear, but we do want to be obedient to the Most High. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Thank you. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. the water baptized, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
You all know. Thank you.
All right.
Shalom.
Shalom.